Well, good morning. I'm Christopher Liberati, the lead pastor here at Willoughby United Methodist Church, and it's my privilege to be here this morning. We are embarking on a brand new sermon series entitled God's Grace, and we're going to study over the next 4 weeks the four stages of grace that our founding denominational leader came up with. Four stages of grace as found in the Bible: prevenient grace, justifying grace, sanctifying grace, and then on the final week we'll talk about some of the obstacles to grace and the beautiful means of grace. And so this week we're going to focus on prevenient grace, that first stage, and next week Pastor Hazel is going to bless you with a sermon on justifying grace. So for prevenient grace, before we get started, though, I think it's only important that we first define what grace really is, right? I mean, how can we understand the stages of grace if we haven't defined what grace is? So, what is God's grace? Well, God's grace is simply this. Can you see it back there? That beautiful gift? Can you see? It's supposed to be the shape of like a big Christmas present. You see the gold wrapping? If you don't say anything, I'll keep going on. Oh, you see it. Okay. It's got a red bow on it. Gold wrapping, red bow. It's a gift. It's something we didn't earn. It's a revelation of God that God would offer us this gift, not based on what we've done, nor on our own merits, but simply because He loves us. We have a tradition in my wife's family where on Christmas you never knew who would show up, because we had this open invitation that we could invite anybody, friends, family, strangers, it didn't matter. Matter of fact, one year while I was in seminary, we actually invited some friends that I had met at seminary. They were studying at the seminary for a year. They were from Madrid, Spain. And they said, and we said, you're not doing anything. You come with us. You come experience Christmas with us. And we get there, and, you know, there's all kinds of presents under the tree. And her parents always had extra presents kind of tucked away just in case someone would show up. And I thought, what a blessing, right? What a blessing to go somewhere, to be invited with no expectations, and then to receive a gift. That is God's grace. That is God's grace in its best, most simplest form, is to receive a gift without any expectations, without earning it, or without merit. You know what I'm saying? Grace is basically this: God's unmerited favor. Unmerited means we don't have to earn it or do anything to deserve it. Grace means a gift. And in Ephesians, let me turn my Bible up, right side up here. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, here we get the opening concept of what grace really is. Paul writes this: "You were dead through the trespasses of sin in which you once lived, and following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient, all of us once lived among them in the passions of our own flesh, following the desires of the flesh and the senses, and we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, and out of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not on your own doing. It is a gift, he writes. It is a gift from God, not the results of work, so that no one may boast. It's a gift. God's grace is the one grace. God's grace is one grace with many facets. We're talking about the stages of grace, the prevenient grace, the justifying grace, the sanctifying grace, the means of grace. But it's grace is so much more than just forgiveness. It's so much more than just receiving something that we didn't deserve. 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 19 says this about God's grace. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God is reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So number one, when we receive that grace, that gift, guess what? We don't have to live stuck in the past. We don't have to live in our old dysfunctional life. We don't have to live in our addictions or our old junk. We're set free. We're made new. Did you pick that up? Everything in Christ is a new creation. It's a new creation. And then in the second part of that is that we are reconciled to God through Christ. Reclaimed, recaptured, regathered. For once we were astray, distant, and in and through Christ, he has brought us back into that right relationship with God. And God is present from conception until the time we get it through our thick heads that he's onto us. You know what I'm saying? Like, think about it now. Psalm 139 says this, verse 13, "For it was you who formed my inward parts. It was you, God, who knit me together in my mother's womb." It was God. Nothing that we did. It was God. Which leads us to that first stage of grace according to our Wesleyan tradition. Prevenient grace. The beginning gift of God. So what is prevenient grace? It's that grace that comes before us. It's that grace, that wooingness of God before we realize he's onto us. It's once been said that a person could be pregnant and not even know it. You know what I'm saying? God is onto us before we are onto God. Prevenient grace is the love of God wooing us into relationship. Prevenient grace is that grace that as in Psalm 139 says, that knits us together in our mother's womb. You all know I love stories, and here's one for you. This is a true story that actually happened. When Connie was pregnant, she read a book that both parents are supposed to speak to the belly, to the baby inside the belly, right? And I was like, really? Come on. What book was that? Whatever. So I get home at the end of a long day, work in construction, and take my boots off, get ready, do our evening thing, and I'd hop in bed, get ready, you know, just pass out, and she'd give me that look. She'd give me that look and point to her belly, it's time. Okay, so sometimes I would read a book, sometimes I would have a conversation. I will admit, it was during that time that as her belly started to grow and grow, that I came up with Anthony's first nickname. I called him Bada Bing. And so every time I would begin our conversation, I says, Bada Bing, how you doing? How you doing? And I would speak to her belly. Now I was speaking to her belly, not really to make a relationship with Anthony, but to further my relationship with Connie, right? And so, I'll never forget the day, Christmas Day 2005, we're at the hospital in the delivery room, and Anthony is born. And I was awestruck. You talk about God's grace in that moment. I was just awestruck at the beauty of created life, the majesty of God. The nurse came over and took Anthony away from Connie and took him across the room to clean him up. And I'm just like, I'm frozen. And the doctor must have said my name 4 or 5 times, but I couldn't remember. I was just in awe. And he finally tugged my shirt and got me out of my daze and said, Dad, go say hi to your son. And I says, oh, yeah. So I walk across the room, camcorder in hand, and I look down, and the nurse goes, it's okay. And he's laying on his side with his back towards me, his head facing away from me. And I said, bada bing. And he turned and looked up. He knew my voice. He knew my voice. And I think, oh my goodness, that's just like prevenient grace. I had been speaking to Anthony while he was in the womb, and in that moment, he said, yes, Daddy, although he couldn't say yes, Daddy, right? And I think that must be a foretaste of what God experiences or feels. The moment, whether we are an infant, a teenager, an adult, or somebody on their deathbed, when we look up and say, yes, Father, grace, prevenient grace. Prevenient grace is the love of God wooing us into a relationship. I'll never forget the time when I came home from the army. I was on leave. This was a time before social media. This was a time before cell phones. And I was calling Connie's house to see if her sister was available to go out on a date. And after several phone calls, Connie shared gently with me that her sister was dating someone else. And I think in that moment, she could hear like I was pretty devastated, and she extended grace. She goes, well, you know, you and I could go out. That's grace! I'm just saying, that's grace. It continues to be grace. We're going to celebrate 28 years of marriage this year. Grace upon grace upon grace. Prevenient grace is the wooing grace, right? I said this was a time before cell phones. Back when you wanted to make a phone call, you had to buy a phone card and type it in like a credit card and stand in a phone booth. And what did that prompt me to do? It prompted me to buy a pen and a paper and write love letters to try to woo her into a relationship. Imagine being a soldier, an infantry soldier, who would go out and spend 30 to 45 days out in the field at a time, sending off a love letter, right? Oh, I longed for mail call. And I can remember the mail call after I had sent the first 28 letters. That may be exaggerated, may have been 27. pouring my heart out. Mail call after mail call. No one called my name. But I'll never forget the day that they did. And it was a letter from her expressing her love in return. I think about prevenient grace. That grace of God trying to woo us into the realization of his great love for us. If you've ever experienced a beautiful sunset or a majestic mountain range or an awesome waterfall or the stars at night, that is a love letter from God wooing you into the realization that he has created that for you. Prevenient grace is the will of God drawing us to him. Prevenient grace is the desire of God pursuing us. Psalm 139 goes on to say that there's nowhere we can go to run from God because God's already there waiting on us. Prevenient grace is the gift of God freeing us from ourselves and the junk that we carry around. Prevenient grace is the activity of God empowering us to be more than what we are, to do more than what we can, to love more than what we think we can. Prevenient grace is the grace that draws us to him, because we were created in his image. The biblical message is clear in Genesis and all throughout that God created the world, the heavens, and everything on it, and said it was good. And then he created us. And he said what? It was very good. Aren't there days when you meet certain people when you think, are you sure you wanted to use very good? We call those EGR, extra grace required, right? But in God's eyes and mind and heart, we are created in his image. And guess what, folks? He's pretty proud of what he's created. He's pretty pleased with what he's created. That's why he tries to draw us in to that relationship with him. Now, how do we experience God's prevenient grace? We experience it through events. I think Beth would agree that she experienced a lot of God's prevenient grace growing up in this church, which has then placed a calling on her life to serve her community. Has there been a VBS or a Bible Sunday school or a worship service where you've felt drawn in closer to the presence of God? That's prevenient grace. God uses others for prevenient grace. I can tell you, the leader of the small group of the very first church I really started to attend, his name was Glenn Needham, is Glenn Needham, and he's still being an agent of prevenient grace, helping people come to know the love of Jesus Christ. Believe it or not, God can use us to be agents of prevenient grace, to draw others to know the love of Christ. That's one of the reasons why I continue to say over and over and over again, I want to be a church full of Barnabases, full of encouragers, full of joy-filled, loving people, because God can use that. God has a hard time using a stingy heart. Amen? But when we have a heart that's been touched by God's grace, it becomes generous and flowing, because after all, we are imperfect earthen vessels. And when we have the Spirit and grace of God flowing in us, because we are imperfect, we have the Spirit and grace of God flowing out of us. God can use even the church for Prevenient Grace, especially when we go on mission trips or worship or invite people to come and worship, right? God does amazing things through the local church. And I'm so glad and proud and privileged to be serving here as a pastor. I think every day, God, I don't deserve this appointment. I don't. But please use me. God uses the Holy Spirit to awaken our consciousness to His love. As I mentioned about the beauty of nature, there are just some things in nature that you just know there's got to be a God. Amen. He uses, through the Holy Spirit courting us, that beautiful intuition or still small voice that God calls us and nudges us and guides us to do things that normally we wouldn't do. That's God using us in Prevenient Grace. And God can even work through our words, our attitudes, and actions. I once heard a great theologian said, show God's love in all that you do. And as a last resort, if you absolutely have to, use some words too. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we can just open mouth and insert foot. I'm prone to do that. And I'm confessing and owning it. But I think sometimes even God can use our words to draw people in to His presence. But here's the biggest question that we have to face and address today. The critical question for each of us is, will we open our hearts to God and accept the relationship God offers to us in and through Jesus Christ? Will we open our hearts to receive this gift called grace? Would you pray with me? God, who have made the heaven and earth, the stars, the mountains, the vast oceans, and even us. If we were to be honest and think about that for a moment, I think we would be lost. Lost in thought. We thank you for how you woo us and draw us into your presence. We thank you for the reconciliation. We thank you for the new creation that we become in Christ. We thank you that even in the midst of our brokenness and our rebellion, you chose to love us. You chose to send Jesus to die for us, to reconcile us, to put us back into a right relationship with you. All of this is a gift. Help us to more and more appreciate that and love you for it. Amen.